You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
You may already be tired of hearing that today is Valentine's Day, but whether it's Valentine's Day or Flag Day, getting dumped is no laughing matter. Yet Ben Carlin has located a slew of writers who have found ways to inject wit and humor into what can be an extremely painful experience. The collection of essays called Things I've Learned from the Women Who've Dumped Me is published by Grand Central, and it is my pleasure to welcome Ben Carlin, the Emmy Award-winning former executive producer of The Daily Show and co-creator and executive producer of The Colbert Report, to this show, along with two of the book's contributors, David Wayne and Sam Lipsight. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
And Ben, this is your first project since you left the Colbert. Do I have to say rapport every time?
I don't know. I get tired of trying to do that, too. And I made that up.
You're the one who actually came up with the Colbert rapport?
I think it was a communal thing. It was one of those things we were really excited about. And it's one of those things you get excited about in theory. And then in practice, you're like, oh,
you have
man,
to say it every day.
All the time now.
Did you have to leave the daily grind of a comedy show to be able to complete a book like this?
Yes.
You been alerted to the possibilities of a writer's strike?
Well, no. I mean, this book actually, I sold the idea, a couple of years ago, and I thought I could do it while doing the other jobs, and apparently I couldn't.
Well, I'm looking at the other two gentlemen here, and I wonder why you approached them, or did they approach you as possible contributors to a book of this sort?
I approached them. I started out thinking that this would be like a book that had people like, Kofi Annan and Andre Agassi. I was like trying to think of these names of people who were these like cultural icons.
Names.
Exactly. And then I remembered something that my friend Bob Odenkirk told me once when I asked him why Saturday Night Live wasn't consistently funny, and he said, have you ever tried to make Wayne Gretzky funny? Mm-hmm. And so I really realized, I really wanted to do a humor book above all, and to do that, I really needed the funniest people I knew or knew of.
Whether or not we were grand figures in the world.
That's just a bonus. That's just a total
but
bonus.
But you are, not everybody here is a funny person, and we'll get to that later.
Yes.
I'm thinking Bob Carey, for
example. Bob Carey is funny. I think Bob Carey is very funny, and I think a lot of it is like in the same way that Bob Dole is funny, you have to judge it on a different standard because Bob Carey isn't an entertainer by trade. He's a public figure.
Former senator and before that governor of Nebraska, now president of the New School. He remains a strong supporter of the decision to go into Iraq, which has led any number of his students to ask for him to be dumped. But that's a whole other thing.
That is
right?
A whole other
different
thing.
Show.
Yes. Why specifically, and I throw this out to all of you, why specifically men getting dumped? Aren't women dumped as often, if not more, than men?
Nothing funny about that.
And they talk about it all the time.
Haven't we heard enough?
Men are embarrassed to talk about it? Is that it, David?
I just think that I just have a feeling Ben's a guy and that this is the point of view that he sees it. And these are all extension. These are a guy can read this book and really get a sense of what the whole range of what that experience feels like. And there's a lot of commonality there.
I think it's also a little less common to hear the male point of view on this type of thing. I think that many women, not all, don't have a problem, talking about their feelings. Whereas perhaps men may not so much.
Well, and perhaps it's easier for men to talk about them in a funny way.
Yeah, evade their feelings through humor.
Exactly. See,
cover the pain with jokes.
Exactly. Sometimes it just takes 10 years and an offer to write about it in a book for guys to open up.
Well, I'm sure this is something that's close to universal. Almost everybody at one time or another has been dumped. But I checked it. There aren't many books on this. Why do you think that is?
Too obvious? I don't know. I think that from a comedy writing standpoint, certainly, personally speaking, I would say that, rejection or fear of rejection is a huge fuel for a lot of the material, that I work on and a lot of my point of view. I don't know if you guys feel the
I know
same
that
way.
When you contacted me and told me the premise of the book, my first thought was where to start? I mean, I could pick from 1,000 stories of being dumped. And So I think it's a pretty
rich
topic.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
You're talking about other people.
But he should point out that he is 1,900 years old. So,
well, you've written for movies and television, but you also did stand-up. And being dumped is one of those standbys of stand-up comedians, isn't it?
It is, although the stand-up that I've done has been more in what we quote-unquote alternative world, where less personal confessional and more absurd.
Sam, your most recent novel, Homeland, has been called sad and cruel, but also extremely funny. I think the reviewer on NPR said it was the funniest book he'd read in many, many years. And its protagonist, Lewis Minor, experiences a lot of failures and disappointment, including being dumped. But you haven't contributed one of the getting dumped stories. You instead offer a unified theory of dumping to tie everything up at the end of the book.
Yeah, well, it's true that the character in my novel, I think he gets dumped several times, and I guess it was just getting too painful for me to write about in a straightforward way. So I decided to take a more scientific approach and really work on this unified theory of dumping and see if I could draw together a number of experiences. I don't know if we learned anything from them, but at least we got to revel in the pain a little bit more at the end of the book.
And we had a few laughs along the way.
Right. We did.
I actually... speaking of men and women being dumped, my wife and I have been involved with each other since our early 20s, and we each dumped each other viciously once. So by the time we got married, we had kind of been through it from both sides. So I think that I advise that for couples in long-lasting relationships to try the vicious dump.
Well, you know, there was one person who did not contribute to the book who I really wanted to, and the reason why... was because his one story that he would want to tell was about his current wife, and he said that if he did tell that story, then he would get divorced. So he decided, you know, be in the book, get divorced, I think I'll take a pass on
this. Where are his priorities, my God?
Exactly. He's dead to me now.
Bob Odenkirk's bitter 9-year plan, where he discusses why 9 years is the perfect amount of time to be in a bad relationship, but then you have to dump. He tried everything before the dumping.
Exactly. Well, that's an example, I think, of what, you know, I really wanted this book not just to be a series of straightforward confessional essays. I really wanted to encourage, because the people in it were, you know, very creative, and the standard for me was just I had to think they were funny. That was the only, you know, kind of standard for the book. And I really encourage people to come up with more conceptual things. David's piece is a series of conversations between that are all phone messages, basically, or phone conversations about a guy who's just helplessly and haplessly trying to woo this woman. And Bob's piece is done from the point of view of a motivational speaker who gives a seminar on the subject.
It's interesting that when we invited listeners to join in on this, we've gotten a lot of responses. I guess this is really something that people want to talk about, and later we'll even take some calls. But can I read one? A listener comment? It could have made it into your book.
Nothing would make me happier.
I learned more about myself in these painfully down times than at any other times in my life. Being dumped or the end of a relationship in general can be your greatest teacher if you let it. Although having this awareness doesn't make getting the axe hurt any less. Though humor does come through in retrospect, who hasn't looked back at least one relationship in their life and thought, did I lose my mind during that time? Thank God that's over.
It's true.
I mean, yeah, I think ultimately the motivation for this book was that, you know, when something bad happens, you know, it's just that classic adage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Is there some kind of positive thing? Maybe not 5 minutes after it happens, but maybe 5 years after it happens, you look back and say, well, I actually took something pretty positive away from that experience. And
of course, although some people get dumped again and again and again, obviously there are other factors that lead to dumping.
I was dumped pretty much, you know, on a regular schedule for most of my adult life until I finally now somehow landed in a more long-term relationship. But I think you always write from the perspective of where you are now. I think I might have written my piece with a lot more bitterness if I wasn't currently happy.
But distance will allow you to see the funny side of it.
Yes.
But do you think that that people who are dumped in a serial basis, that they're to some degree inviting being dumped?
Without question.
Because there's an awful lot of breaking up that's passive. Sometimes there are some people who just can't say, you know, I got to get out of this. So they make it
themselves
so impossible.
Sam references that in his story, I believe, the preemptive dump, isn't it?
Well, that's I think that's a little different. But, yeah, the preemptive dump is when – I guess it's the –
Yeah, when you anticipate
you're
that –
You're pretty sure you're going to get dumped, so you make the move first.
Yeah, but I was a big practitioner of the passive dump.
Being so obnoxious that the other person says, I can't take this.
Not having the guts to do it myself.
I would say the same thing.
Making the relationship miserable enough so that she would eventually force.
And it's weird because you think you're being, like, you know, a good guy by not just coming out and ending the relationship, but you're really just being the worst by doing that.
Oh, it's being a total wuss.
I'm not.
But you want to look good.
I'm not good enough for you.
Right. You don't want to be the bad guy.
Or I'm just going to be a jerk for a while until you have to leave.
And then you can't understand what happened.
Yeah. And you're like, why are you leaving me?
My guests are three of the contributors to a book called Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me, published by Grand Central Publishing. Ben Carlin, who's the editor. He has been a producer. Now he's an editor. David Wayne, who's you've also produced, have you?
Yes.
He's a quadruple threat. Very rare in
the you've done State, Stella.
Right. Two TV series and two movies of note, at least in my own mind.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Right.
And also The Ten.
Correct.
And all comedies.
Yes. The two feature film comedies and two series that I was producer, director, and actor.
And Sam Lipsight, who is a novelist.
I'm a single threat. Yeah.
But
very dangerous,
extremely funny. So I guess it doesn't really matter. Would you want to do other things, Sam? Have you written film scripts? Are you the only novelist who hasn't written a film script?
I haven't really. I've dabbled, but actually when Ben got in touch, I really thought this was going to be a big lucrative television opportunity for me.
It will be. I swear.
But Sam actually does what he does well. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you admired some of the dumping approaches that some people have had? I mean, when you go through this book, were you surprised that some of the women who dumped these guys were as clever as they were?
Well, I think a lot of the stories kind of fit like the classic model where someone gets involved with a friend or someone, you know, cheats on someone. A lot of the stories fit your idea of how relationships dissipate.
Or get involved with the wrong kind of person.
Yes,
the stripper
exactly.
In one case.
I don't know if that's wrong. It may not have had long-term prospects. Oh, that's Patton Oswalt's piece.
That is so funny.
Dating a Stripper is a Recipe for Perspective. And the whole piece is a series of comparative situations between his stripper ex-girlfriend and his current wife and how the same situation is handled. It's really funny.
It's hysterical.
Well, we are going to take some calls later from listeners and talk about some of the other pieces in this book, including something, Ben, from your mother.
Is she
the only woman who contributed?
She is. I guilted her into doing it. So the switcheroo.
And her piece is, I think my son is a catch.
So I think my son is a real catch. Oh. You might want to go back and check that.
Uh-huh. And do you come from a funny family?
Not particularly, no.
Do any of you? Do you think that humor is something that you learn when you're at the dining room table?
My family definitely had a running sense of humor in it, but I was the clown of the family. I was the guy entertaining from a very young age in the kitchen table.
Because you needed to be loved.
Exactly.
My dad liked to crack a lot of bad jokes, and I think my sister, who's now a lawyer, is the funniest person in the family.
Your father wrote serious columns for the New
York
Times on sports and then other things, so I guess...
Well, I'm forgiving him the bad jokes.
Just one more thing before we go to a break. One of the pieces is by Stephen Colbert, and Ben, since you probably wrote a fair amount of Stephen Colbert's material over the years, can I assume that you ghostwrote this thing for him?
Absolutely not. Stephen is one of those people who, you know, like John, who is incredibly involved in his own material and is really the architect of it. And you know, I talked to Stephen very loosely about the parameters for that piece, which is a story which has been redacted by his wife. So all the juicy details have been blocked out CIA style. And that's a real story, and that's totally his idea. And I wish that I wrote that because it's really funny. It's all him.
My guests are Ben Carlin, editor and one of the contributors to Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me, published by Grand Central Publishing, and two of the contributors to the book, David Wayne and Sam Lipsight. We will continue our conversation after this. Neil Sedaka. He was here not all that long ago, I guess about 6 months ago, and reminded us that breaking up is hard to do. In fact, this book that we've been talking about indicates that it may be hard to do sometimes, but it also can be rather funny in retrospect. I'm talking about Things I've Learned from the Women Who've Dumped Me, which is published by Grand Central, and it is edited by Ben Carlin, who also contributed a piece. Among the other contributors, David Wayne and Sam Lipsight, who are here with us in the studio. Also, Stephen Colbert, Will Forte. Is it Forte or Forte?
Forte.
Now, you see, Colbert got me all confused because actually the correct pronunciation of F-O-R-T-E is Fort. You know that. That's not my Fort. Bruce J. Friedman, Bob Carey, Bob Odenkirk, Patton Oswalt, Neil Pollack, Andy Richter, Dan Savage. And Dan Savage is a big surprise because he is so openly gay. I wouldn't have thought that he'd ever been dumped
by
a woman.
Well, you know, his lesson was that I'm a gay man was what his lesson was. He learned he was gay by trying to have a relationship with a woman.
Now, we would love to hear from people who've been dumped, and not just from men who've been dumped, but also perhaps from women who've done the dumping, and you can explain why. The usual reason I hear from women who have dumped somebody is, well, you know, he was an idiot. And when women say that to each other, they all nod their heads. Yeah, I understand. Don't have to say any more than that, right? The one listener sent in, I was the one with the itchy trigger finger in all of my early relationships. When I finally was dumped at age 22, the once overlooked lyrics to hundreds of songs suddenly became very clear to me. is that what happens? People suddenly, you hear a song and you say, oh, gee, we dance to that song. Or you go by a movie theater, you say, we saw a great movie in that theater and we held hands.
Or I find myself crying at commercials or terrible romantic comedies.
Or the worst thing is things that you really liked are now forever marked with those people.
Right.
So, like, I have a couple songs that I just absolutely loved, but I can't think of them without thinking of that situation, so.
Are there songs that we should listen to after we've been dumped? I mean, does Breaking Up Is Hard to Do sung in such a chirpy manner by Neil Sedaka, does that help at all?
I think it'd be better to listen to just like a good Van Halen song.
Right,
just
exactly.
Maybe some feel good.
Some sports arena rock, maybe. You know, Gary Glitter.
A Gregorian chant.
Exactly. That's also.
That's another way to go.
Well, that way you get into a mellower mood, right?
Yeah.
Did you, as contributors, David and Sam, did you read everybody else's contribution?
No. We all did it in separate rooms.
No, I mean afterward and think, oh, gee, that. I understand
I
what that's all about.
Yeah, no, I thought it was it's a really cool compilation because everyone has such a specific different voice and a different experience that they're talking about. Sorry, I've lost my voice, by the way. I'm normally very resonant.
Our number, by the way, is 212-433-9692. I invited people to call in, but then I didn't give out the phone number. A reason, obviously, to dump me. Just not living up to my responsibilities here.
Leonard is so inconsiderate sometimes.
I know. That's Leonard for you.
This person writes, as a gullible young dumpee, lo, those many years ago, I learned the hard way to only pay attention to what a person does, not what he says or what I want him to do or say.
Sure.
You got that?
Well, it just means don't take anyone's bull.
Uh-huh.
or believe their promises. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, should we take some calls?
Why not?
Okay.
What if we had like a gotcha moment and one of your ex-girlfriends called up right now?
I was just thinking. About that.
I'm scared.
I don't have any ex-girlfriends.
I'm scared that the person that I refer to here is going to get in, is going to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, why did you write you?
They could have read your piece, and I'm
it's
sure
they're possible.
I'm sure the people from your past are aware of your career.
Yes, I'm very famous.
Doesn't your success, in a way, make you feel good about that person who dumped you?
Well,
be honest. You know, she should not have dumped me. Did she know I was going to go on?
Why do you think he's successful?
Why else would I become successful? That's the only reason, is to get back at women and show them that they shouldn't have dumped me.
You know, based on the technology in your piece, it's pretty recent that...
Well, yeah. You
can
do
a lot
some
of
detective
texting.
Work to
there's
figure it out.
There's a lot of texting and stuff.
I mean, you know, I do a web series called Wainy Days, which is basically just a series of confessional stories about relationships I've had with women, most of which are true, dramatized on film.
Let's go to Tony from Fort Lee, New Jersey. Hi, Tony.
How you doing, gentlemen? Bittersweet topic. My opinion, I'd rather be the person being dumped than the dumper. It's a lot easier playing the victim than the villain.
And you like being a victim?
It's
or
a lot
playing
easier,
the victim?
You know, poor me, and everyone's buying you drinks and taking you out.
I'm right with you.
You know, but, yeah.
It's a good way to get a hot girl to make out with you, too.
That's true. You could just, you know, put the, you know, you're pouting and whatnot. But, the hardest breakup I had to do was... being the, you know, the villain, and the girl just didn't get it. You know, it was very, very difficult because I was also dating the family. The family loved me, you know, and it was more than just one person I was breaking up with. But
and that does happen sometimes. A couple breaks up, and you or she breaks up with you, and you hear from other people that her parents were heartbroken.
Oh,
they
yeah.
loved you so much they kept on asking, "Why would you break up with him?"
Or sometimes
so great.
The relationship with the parents continues.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was the toughest one because
you were on a picture on our credenza. We have to take you off the credenza.
That's it. And real quick before I go, Hole & Oates, She's Gone is a good breakup song.
Nice.
Sure.
If you break up, you'll jump off a bridge.
Thank you for calling. We go to Aldo from the West Side Highway. I hope that you're calling from a hands-free.
No, I'm not. But, I have to live a little on the edge. So,
is this Aldo Nova?
No, it's Aldo Perez.
All right.
But, sometimes I get it called Aldo Nova. I'm also a musician, so that does happen. But what I'd like to add to this is I've been trying to dump somebody. And the thing in my life has been more painful than this experience of trying to untangle myself.
I think you just did.
Yeah. On public radio.
You know, but I'm feeling that it was necessary. So I felt compelled to
do it at Yankee Stadium.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, ultimately, no one cares. You know, no one's really going to remember any of this. In a million years from now, no one will care what we thought, and we shouldn't care what they think. But what I'd like to add is that in reading Sigmund Freud, I never really knew that Dr. Freud was so deep and wise in the ways of love. And he said that even worse than the fate of knowing that we're going to die, which is just a crappy, you know, thing to realize, and even worse than knowing that fortune is probably not going to smile on you, the worst alienation and pain we feel is the separation from one another. And I think that you can have a pretty decent relationship once you embrace that, you know. So that's
a very good lesson. Don't you think?
Yeah.
The book is full of those kinds of lessons.
I'd rather
like
get
if
separated.
You lie, you'll get caught.
I think I'd rather be separated than die.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, death is
well, you,
kind of final.
You've tried one. You haven't tried the other yet.
That's true. I should try.
Death is life dumping you.
I'll try death, and I'll come back, and I'll tell you which is better.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Did you know that? Okay. Oh, I was just going to go to Paul, who said he was first dumped when he was four, but we'll never find out what that was all about. David from Staten Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
I guess my interesting story is that when I went away to college, it was the first time I ever, considered getting serious with young woman, and had a string of relationships where I was the one who got dumped. And when you guys were talking about songs earlier, King of Pain by The Police just seemed to fit quite
well. Sure. Nice. Good now, that's a song to really feel self-pity with, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of music most people pick, the you know, drown in my own tears kind of songs?
There's a shocking amount of songs on the subject. It's really incredible. We've been doing these live shows with the band Fountains of Wayne, who Adam from the band did one of the pieces in the book, and they're playing at these shows, and we've been trying to do covers of breakup songs at the top of each show. And like every week, we have a list of 100 to pick from. Incredible.
Last night, I sang a little piece of the breakup song by the Greg Kinn Band.
All right,
which is a great one.
Thank you so much for calling us, David. We're going to take a call from Priscilla from Manhattan. Hi, Priscilla. You have thoughts about men dumping women?
Yeah, I just as
or men being dumped by women. I mean,
listening to this because I think sometimes men want to be dumped or need to be dumped. You know, like the classic Peter Pan 40-year-old guy who's been dating the same girl for 10 years and gets shocked when she talks about moving in together.
There's three of them right here at this table.
I'll admit it. I'll own up to it.
I smelled you guys. I knew who I was talking to here. No, but I think I'm from Brazil, and I think there's also a cultural aspect of commitment and, you know, relationships being seen as something to avoid. You have to be self-sufficient. You have to be independent. And if you girls have cooties kind of mentality, you know?
Don't they?
And so I was just wondering if you guys agree that sometimes you need to be dumped.
Now, does this hold true for Brazilian men as it does for American men?
I think in Brazil, it's kind of cool to have a commitment. It's kind of the opposite, you know?
Not from the movies
Brazilian
I've
men.
Seen.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the movies I've seen is the guys all have Uzis and
no shirts on.
I've only seen the movie Brazil. So.
You're right. I'm not trying to defend Brazil, but I'm just saying, culturally, it seems like here it's cool for you not to have a commitment, for you to be in 5-6 years long relationship before taking the next step. You know, and the men will get the deer in the headlights look when you mention that. You know,
never
and
sure.
In Brazil, it's kind of like people think commitments are cool. You know, even though they might not honor them all the time.
I romanticize my single days for sure. I like pretend that I was happy, even though I know I wasn't.
Yeah, and I think also New York City is kind of a special place because of the intensity of life here. I don't know if this. I agree with what you're saying. I don't know if that necessarily follows, you know, in much of the other parts of the country. I don't know if you spent a lot of time in.
No, mostly,
you know,
New York. Well,
Topeka.
I would say help your guy friends move on and get rid of the cootie fear. And be happy.
Thank you for calling us. We talked earlier about how women will get together and talk about these things, and men tend not to. Have you ever gotten together with friends and talked about the emotional trauma of having been dumped?
Not really. It's come up, but I think our natural, like I have a friend who recently broke up with a long-term girlfriend, and our first instinct was like, let's just take him out and show him a good time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, let's take him out and talk about it.
Normally what I do is
connected time was bowling, I just want you to know.
Oh, but hey.
So not with that's how fun
but,
I am.
But with beer.
Exactly.
Normally I would just have long talks about how my feelings with my female friends, who I was also trying to hit on. Mm. So it was like, hey, I got dumped. Let's talk. Let's have a drink. Let's make out.
Well, with that in mind, we go to Josh from Brooklyn. Hi, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Speak to my guests.
Okay. Terrific. I've been dumped many times in my life. So much so that I have a book coming out. Sounds like a great companion piece to this book.
Plug.
Coming out in December. It's called The Dumped Fun and Games Activity Book.
Nice.
And it's done as a kid's activity book with connect the dots and
that's great.
Word searches.
That sounds very funny.
Yes, it helps people get over their breakup.
I'm seeing a Time Life 2 book set that you can order on TV.
Right.
And if you order now, cubic zirconia earrings. Thank you for calling us, Anne from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I think that sometimes you get a situation that I was in where both parts of the couple, both of you, really want to end it, and you're not quite sure how. I'm a middle-aged woman, and I was in a 4-year relationship with a guy, and at the beginning it was great. The last year was murder. And at one point I told him I wanted to end it, and he begged me for another chance. Well, it didn't get much better, and I spent 6 months talking to my therapist about how to get out of this relationship without hurting him.
Wow.
Now, you can tell at this point, I'm not a good leaver. It takes a long time for
And it
me.
Sounds like you were a good enabler anyway.
Well, whatever. It was a bad situation. And one day, I got an email from him breaking up with me.
Via email? That's
yes,
cold.
Via email.
Ouch.
Kind of like that scene in Sex and the City.
Oh, good riddance.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, at the time, I thought, if I
were there
only
any emoticons?
Known, if I'd only known you were as unhappy as I was, think of all the emotional nonsense I could have saved myself.
You know what? It's about communication. We need more of it.
Oh, you think?
Welcome
but
to
not
Oprah
via email.
On public radio.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Okay.
I had a friend who said that when he and his girlfriend realized that they were both fantasizing about the accidental death of the other one, it was time to call it quits.
We have Aaron from Westport, Connecticut on the air. Hello.
Hi. You know, when somebody breaks up with you, it hurts a lot because you don't see it coming, especially for us men who are oblivious and don't see anything coming. But I have an idea. Maybe somebody can give a 2 weeks' notice. They could say something like, I'm breaking up with you in 2 weeks, and then by the time the 2 weeks are over, you're already expecting it.
Would that be in the form of a pink slip or something? Yeah. You want to make it formal? I think that's not a bad idea.
I think it's cute.
Are you still doing sort of secret interviews before
your
notice?
I think you just pitched a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Or else another day on untreatment. Is it
in treatment?
Because what happens often when people do give that kind of notice, you say then they say, well, maybe we should go to a couples counselor. And then that just drags the thing on for a long time. They're both looking for the counselor to say, you know, I don't think this relationship is working. And the counselors will not say that.
No, they're saying, let's talk about it for another year.
Yeah.
That New York phenomenon, especially where the couple breaks up, but they can't move out from each other because it's too expensive. And so they have to keep living together for another year.
Where are you going to go from here, Ben? Are you going to continue working on books, or do you think you'll create it? Is there after Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, it's really hard to come up with somebody exciting.
You
did some pretty good things even before that.
Well, I think doing this book was a chance for me to kind of like really do something totally outside the genre that I've been working in. And it was great. It was just a fun exercise for me. I definitely would like to do some more television. I have a deal with HBO and I have a couple ideas with them that, especially now that the strike is over, I'm optimistic about one of those going forward.
And David, the strike is over for you too?
Yes. I'm actually editing a feature film that I'm shot in the fall.
Were you allowed to work on it at all during the strike?
Yes. In fact, the strike hit 2 weeks we had a 10-week shoot and 2 weeks left to go, we had the strike. And so we had a writer that was working with us on set and we had to basically send that person away and stop writing the script, which in the comedy you're often writing every day. So it was tough for us, but we did finish the shooting and now we're editing and now we're able to, you know, continue with writing that you do during editing, and we'll have it completed in the next few months.
You were allowed to shoot a script, but you had to stick to every line that was in the script.
Yeah,
you couldn't change anything.
Nothing, and that's very, you know, frustrating because we couldn't even, you know, change for a location. We couldn't say door when it was a window or anything like that.
Now, Sam, where do you go after having written a book that many people said was the funniest they'd read in years and years?
I'm writing a less funny book now.
Really?
I'm working on another novel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I was obviously not on strike, so.
Novelists didn't have to go on strike.
No,
and
no.
You can negotiate all the residual rights you want. You probably
because
not
there
gonna
are
make
none.
Any money.
Yeah, exactly.
If there was like a union of novelists, it would be like 10 million people strong, you know,
right.
But only like 80 of them would be actually
exactly
paying any dues. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Sam Lipsight, whose last novel was Homeland. You should read it. It is really hilarious and sad all at the same time. Thank you. David Wayne, who has another movie in the works. What's it going to be called?
That doesn't have a title, but my most recent film, The Ten, is just now out on DVD.
And Ben Carlin, whose latest project is this collection of essays called Things I've Learned from the Women Who've Dumped Me. It is published by Grand Central Publishing. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Yeah.